B-Pod Studios.
As for Mom, she'll be thrilled with the radio that never forgets. Besides turning on appliances automatically, it can be set to remind Mom when her favorite program is on the air. And now, another chapter in the lives of
Stan and Haney, 96 J-Rock.
The afternoon. Glad to have you along. It's a Monday. Thank God.
Woo!
Thank you, baby.
What?
Let him go.
Haney saw me. He said, you've had a bad day so far. I haven't had a good day.
Well, it's because he walked in and you were bending over in front of me.
Well, I was just using descriptions.
Yeah,
to
I don't know.
You don't know.
No, but I walk down the hall, making my way to the studio, and I see Stan, let's put it kindly, he appears to be a center hiking the ball to Tom, who is playing, let's say, quarterback.
Right, and it wasn't the shotgun position.
No. No, up under center.
He was showing me something.
I was just showing him a little trick.
Looked like Tom was wiping his hands on that towel that you have tucked into your rear.
Right.
That was neither here nor there.
Right. It's got nothing to do with nothing.
Do you remember, and I'm going to do this later on in the show, and we'll welcome the phone calls.
Buddy, you got carte blanche. I've gotten bits and pieces, but let's just devote this break to you getting off your chest whatever it may be.
I understand. And I'm going to. Later on in the show, part of what started my day off, before that started my day off, I'm speaking with words, you can tell.
Yes.
And I am so frustrated.
It's all right. Let it out.
Since Saturday, I have compiled a list.
He's a list maker.
Because I was, for the past Saturday, Sunday, today, completely disgusted. Do you remember about 10 years ago where I came up with the stand plan for the elderly going out on the road and all that?
Mm-hmm.
Which is still viable today. I think I got it somewhere. I'll play it later on. But I came up with a list. When I am on I-75, a major highway, and I am doing 50 miles an hour and can't get into either lane because both lanes are going the same speed for numerous exits.
Yep.
When I am driving down Daniels Road, and Haney has said this so many times, people automatically think you're just going to let them in. If you drive with the assumption you're not going to let me in, you're a little bit better driver.
And very distinct driving styles. And I think Stan is the same way. When I'm on the road, I do not trust the other drivers. I assume that if I pull out into traffic without plenty of room, someone will hit me. I don't assume they're going to slow down and let me in.
Why, in a three-lane road, do I stop at a traffic light and
watch... You're
putting
your life in someone else's hands.
And watch the two lanes next to me drive smoothly through, and I'm standing still in one lane. And I started saying, you know what? There are simple rules of the road that if you abide by them, everything will go smoothly. And since Saturday, this is how much it was eating at me. I was jotting stuff down as I was driving.
There's a problem.
That's unsafe.
No, I know. But keep it in my head and jot it down when I'm at a light.
Right.
There's a problem. All right? I'm going to remember that one.
Remember there's a problem. So that was jotted down.
Yes.
There's a problem.
There's a problem. Right there. And so coming in today, I've come up with simple rules of the road.
Okay.
These are not posted rules. These are not necessarily rules that you learned in driver's ed.
But they were previously unwritten rules that have now been written down.
I've written them down.
They're not necessarily traffic laws.
Right.
But they're still, road etiquette.
Yes.
They're basically, it's like, to quote Schwarzenegger, come with me if you want to live.
Right. And next hour, I'll go over Stan's rules of the road, and we'll open up the phones. If you want to add to this list, great. But there are so many, and feel free to add to it, too, because I can't see it all when I'm driving, although I think I have. But feel free to add to it. There are so many stupid things. Stupid. And if I was a cop, I'd arrest you.
Well, you're not.
I'm not. No. The cop got a DUI.
How many? Well, some of them were corrections officers,
yeah.
But a bad week for off-duty law enforcement.
One got a DUI. One was caught taking the lug nuts off of a car at a car dealership.
They were burgling.
And, the one that got the DUI was screaming at the deputy that he was KKK.
Yes.
And so was his daddy.
Yep.
Drink it down, buddy. Have another one for the road, officer. Crying out loud.
And he did the smooth thing of, which will always save your bacon every time when you see a DUI checkpoint, always pull into the parking lot and try to UE it out of there. That doesn't arouse any suspicion.
Officer? And I don't even know if I can get it all in at this point in time, but I'm going to try to, because if I don't, then I'm going to drop the subject. We here at Beasley Broadcasting, and I thank the company, because as Haney and I were discussing, there are a lot of people here going through tough times, losing their jobs.
Indeed.
And don't have health care. I happen to have health care. Thank God. Can't afford it for my kid. I had to go buy that separately.
Because, you know, the numbers aren't good, but the numbers generally are focused on unemployment, just as bad, and in some cases even worse, underemployment.
Did you see what I saw about that news report about underemployment?
Yes.
It's off the charts.
Where they don't count as the ranks of the unemployed, but people who go from a living wage with benefits
down to something else.
Down to a part-time employee. They didn't get fired.
No.
But
they're not unemployed.
Not as far as the statistics are concerned, but these are people that have lost everything.
Yeah, it's called underemployed, where you have to make the determination, are you going to pay your mortgage or put food on the table?
Doesn't happen, though.
No.
People's status doesn't change.
Oh, no.
Pay cuts and hours cut.
Right. And I understand that with some people that are going to hear me discuss this, but I'm a man who takes pills, okay?
America is a nation that takes pills.
I take pills.
And that's a good thing. The generation behind us didn't have that option, because you are painfully aware that genetically and as far as your lifestyle, that you are at great risk for a heart attack.
Yep.
We are lucky enough to live in a time where they have developed something as simple as a pill that can minimize your risk.
I got a cholesterol pill to stop me from having a heart attack. I've got a stomach pill that is trying to keep my ulcer under control. I've got
because you don't want another surgery.
Nope.
Yeah, no more bowel surgery.
I take another pill so that I can breathe through my sinuses properly, because I'm allergic to everything under the sun. All right, I take pills.
But didn't you spend
pills
a lot of money on shots to get rid of those allergies?
I did. The
once
shots
and for all?
Didn't work. They didn't work. It just made my arm sore.
And cost you a lot of money.
And cost me a lot of money.
Like I told Haney, too, I don't want to be on anything that I have to take every day.
Well, I am. I'm on multiple things I have to take
me
every
too.
Day. To keep me alive.
My blood pressure
Him, blood pressure, me, cholesterol. We could drop dead without the pills.
Without that pill, it would go through the roof immediately.
And keep in mind, I don't take anything. Well, nothing that a doctor's prescribed me.
Keep in mind, the cholesterol pill I'm on is the highest allowable by law.
Right.
Now, as I thank this company for health insurance, and I also thank them for finding the most reasonable health care so that we're not getting hit with it. But if anybody has ever tried changing healthcare providers and dealing with prescription drugs, it's unbelievable.
And Stan, you are not alone. We are not alone on that. I dealt with some pharmacy nightmares.
What's that, Stan?
I don't know. Somebody calling that doesn't need to be.
Yeah, some genius calling while you're on the air. You know, some of us put our phones on vibrate or mute.
Don't know how.
Stan used to put his on automatic.
But at the first of the year, wasn't just us. A lot of people had their insurance switched to different carriers, and it. I saw the poor guys at the pharmacy. It was a nightmare when the insurance gets changed.
Well, I went today to pick up my medicine to keep me alive. And the pharmacist said, oh, you got a new health plan. Your health plan does not cover this. It's a wrong tier of drug, and the insurer would like to tell your doctor to give you something different.
Well, you don't really have an option. There's no generic. That's
and so I say to the pharmacist, I have 2 days worth of my pill left. After that, I don't have any left. Well, we're still waiting on a call from your doctor. I said I called it in 2 days ago. Well, thank God we have a great doctor, because it took me about a minute to get a hold of him. About a minute.
Mm-hmm. And then he's got to do battle with the insurance company.
Well, I explained to him about that. And then he went on for about 10 minutes telling me the scam of the insurance companies, of how with drug manufacturers trying to get you to use this drug and not that drug, a preferred drug and not a preferred drug.
Yeah, it's all kinds of dirty under-the-table deals.
He said, all right, go tell me what is on your tier of drugs, and I'll find out if you can take them. I said, well, if I change drugs, I've been on the same one for 15 years. Is it going to affect my health? It could, but they don't care about your health.
That's really and not that, the point of it.
Yeah, that's exactly what he told me. And so I call up my insurer, who then gives me another number because they farm out pharmacy, call a second number, and the lady goes and gives me a whole list of ones that are covered with this new insurance policy. And I'm right now, so I call my doctor back. My doctor then tells me, are you aware, Stanford, that the pills that they are telling you to take only will take care of one of your symptoms, that you have high cholesterol and you have to keep your triglycerides in check too? It's all part of keeping your heart healthy. Mm. And the ones they're telling you are maybe will work on triglycerides, but your cholesterol will go through the roof. And he lets out a big sigh and says, the one pill that you were on, that you've been on for 15 years.
That works.
Takes care of everything.
Take that one away. I'm now putting you on two other medications that they will approve.
Ridiculous.
So that you can go and continue to be healthy. And I was dealing with the pharmacy there physically with my doctor, my insurer, for about 2.5 hours today, trying to get it all situated so I can get my pills, because I take pills.
Well, and the main
crazy
thing, the main thing is, as frustrating as that is, insurance really is a luxury,
it is.
A lot of people don't have it.
And again, I'll preface it again. A lot of people don't have it, and I thank the company for providing me. Once it gets all situated, I'll be fine. But it's amazing going from one insurance provider to another what's covered. Particular medicine that I am on, my other insurance provider, Copay, $15. Copay today, new provider, $50. Huh. Same pill, same amount, different price.
Wow.
And as my doctor so put so directly, it's a big game. They don't care about your health.
Right.
Well, it's for-profit health care.
Exactly.
That's what it comes down to.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back. 96 K-Rock.
We're not as dumb as you think we am.
Say what?
96 K-Rock. Everything that rocks.
Jones.
We couldn't be more proud to work for the Beasley Media Group. And we'd like to thank them for the indoor plumbing and the microphones. Stan and Amy, 96 K-Rock.
You will not find these in any driving school,
Previously, unwritten rules of the road that have now been written down.
Yes, by me.
You know what we may need to do, Tommy?
What's that?
We may need to get a scan of his notebook.
Okay.
And put it up on the web.
That's fine.
Because I bet there's a lot of stuff. It wouldn't translate if you just typed it out, where you can see the stuff that's triple underlined and where the paper's ripped.
And I do have to, before we start the grab bag, I have to say this because the emails are starting to come in. We're going to qualify somebody today for our half-naked halftime show.
Right.
Yeah, it would be appropriate.
This is where Tommy will come to your Super Bowl party at your home, complete with a fistload of Stan and Haney heart attacks.
Yep. Meaty goodness.
Meaty goodness sandwiches. And the ladies, they're going to put on a lingerie show.
They're going to do what they
halftime.
Do.
At halftime. They'll do what they do.
Right.
Now, the emails are already starting to come in from qualifiers. Where the wife has said, no way.
Oh, geez.
Or on second thought, I don't know if I'm allowed to have this.
So people are asking to have their name taken out of the hat?
Yes.
Well,
wow.
Because, you know, the wife gets wind of it.
Man up. Come
and
on.
I'm going to go and stress this again.
Well,
Make sure you can have this at
Tom,
your house.
You say man up, but there's a theory that Stan and I have lived our lives by, and it has led us to the lives of mediocrity that we lead. And it's a simple concept that we like to call, what hill you gonna die on?
Precisely.
Gotcha.
You know what? You could probably put up a big fight with your wife or girlfriend
and
over
win.
This one. And win. But it'll never be the same.
And be prepared to lose after you win that one. And chances are, you're going to lose. You're going to lose a lot. And is it worth it?
Is it worth losing something bigger, destroying a relationship?
Only you can answer that question.
So before you call in and say, I want this at my house.
Well, of course you do.
Make sure you can. All right.
And think it through.
To its logical conclusion.
Maybe you could surprise her with a lovely gift of a dozen roses and a bus ticket to her sister's house.
There you are.
I was just thinking of you, honey.
Right. It's all part of planning.
Why don't you hop a dog, go see your sister.
I mean, the guys are going to be hanging out watching the game.
Yeah.
You don't want to be around for that.
Of course not. Let's do this.
She doesn't need to know.
No. Just think before you act.
Yeah.
Some of that brain power. Scouring the globe to bring you what you need to hear.
According to him.
Buckle your seatbelts. It's time for Stan's Audio Grab Bag.
We've said it before. This might be the only place you get your news from. So let's do a quick little news roundup.
The Obama economic stimulus package running into a buzzsaw of Republican complaints.
Right now, given the concerns that we have
over the size of this package and all of the spending in this package, we don't think it's going to work.
Governor Blagojevich has said that he is boycotting the proceedings and won't mount a defense because he believes the trial rules are unfair.
Voters will choose regional representatives in 14 out of Iraq's 18 provinces, with many independent candidates as well as established political parties running for office.
Add three more fires over the weekend to a series of about 30 arsons in the town of Coatesville, Pennsylvania in the past 13 months.
Haney did this story on Friday. Let me refresh your memory, and then we'll actually talk to the players and coaches.
Okay.
Earlier this month, the girls' basketball team at Covenant High School in Texas beat another team, Dallas Academy.
How bad?
100-0. The girls from Dallas Academy
but
couldn't score a basket. Dallas Academy is a school for students with learning disabilities.
They're special.
So you had the normal kids and the special kids going against each other. And the coach of the winning team has since... Oh, this is new. I don't know if you said... You knew.
Yeah. Well,
the coach of the winning team has since been fired.
Oh, no, I did not know that. I know that... He apologized up one side of the street and down the other, offered to forfeit the game, apologized.
He didn't apologize to the right people, because here's what it says today. The coach of the winning team has since been fired for running up the score and refusing to apologize to somebody.
Oh.
Doesn't say specifically
because he offered
who.
To forfeit.
I know. Evidently, the story has changed.
Evidently, that was too little too late.
On Friday, the coach of Dallas Academy, that's the special kids, and some of its players talked about losing 100-0 and what they learned from it.
We're not quitters, and we don't give up, basically, and we try hard at whatever we do, even if we're losing 100-0. I was frustrated, but we got through, and... we did it. We figured, you know, it can't get worse, so might as well start learning from them.
I don't think there's anything these girls will face in their lives that they're going to back down from.
You tell them, Coach.
Yeah.
You kept your job.
How does that work?
His
team lost 100-0.
And he kept his job.
The guy that won gets fired.
Yeah, but he kept the full court press going for 3.5 quarters.
Hey, what the hell is wrong with his country?
Unless the rule books have been changed, that's legal, Tommy.
You know what? That's a good lesson. Because that's how life is.
Yeah.
You know, hold their hand while they're in school. Tell them everything's going to be okay. But you know what? It's not.
Right.
That's how life's going to turn out for you.
Yep, you're going to...
It'll be 100-0. You won't score a basket.
That's how life... You win, you get demoted or fired.
Yep.
You lose, you get promoted.
Yep, that's what happened here. What the... It doesn't make sense.
Like the radio.
Yeah, of course it is. You know what? All of America was a little prouder over the weekend.
We were.
Heads held a little higher.
And especially to those folks in Indiana as a new Miss America was crowned.
Ladies and gentlemen, the winner of a $50,000 scholarship, your new Miss America, Miss Indiana, Katie Stair.
Oh, yeah.
Katie. Okay.
Good
for you, Katie.
The actor who should get the Best Actor Academy Award, Mickey Rourke.
Yep.
Yeah.
Says that...
he is Randy the Ram Robinson.
You know it.
Yep.
And he says real wrestlers embraced the movie.
I didn't know anything about wrestling, and Darren, the director, actually knew more than me. And so when we had the first premiere in Los Angeles, Rowdy Piper came, and Ric Flair, and Brutus Beefcake, and we were very concerned with Lex Luger, but these guys were going to think about the movie, and they all sort of embraced it. And I've been talking lately to Vince McMahon, and he's very much supports it. We were very concerned about how they thought about it.
Been talking to Vince McMahon. You better believe
he's Mr. McMahon.
You better believe he's been talking to Mr. McMahon because it's already set up. He's going to step into a what do they call it?
WrestleMania.
WWE ring and wrestle. So here, Mickey Rourke goes on to basically say how he got Bruce Springsteen to write the title song for The Wrestler.
Yeah, well, when I got done with this movie, I felt really good about it. I felt really good about it after about 6 days. And by the end of the movie, we had shot some stuff down there at Asbury Park, and I was having a conversation with the director. We said, you know, it'd be cool if Bruce, yeah, Bruce is from this neck of the woods. We got him to write something. And I was down at Miami, and I wrote him this letter, and he got, you know, he kind of was on the road in Europe, and he got back to me and said he'll try to read it, you know, when he can, because he's on tour. And you know, he went out of his way. He was actually on tour, and I was somewhere else, and I got a call in the middle of the night, and he said, hey, man, I wrote you a little something, you know.
And it became the title song for The Wrestler.
Yeah.
Haney did this story. This sick.
You know, things really coming together for Mickey Rourke.
Yeah,
lately.
And about time, after he wrecked his face.
Yeah.
That ain't all he wrecked.
I know. Haney did this story last Friday when Andy Dick said that he dates both men and women 50-50.
Uh-huh. I don't think he said 50-50, did he?
It says, Andy Dick says, even though nobody believes him when he says it, he does actually date both men and women equally.
Okay.
He said this with the ever riveting and very interesting Tyra Banks show.
Oh. I would say it probably is 50-50.
And Andy's mentioned to me before that he feels, I don't know, sort of poorly understood when people try to constantly put him in either one box or the other.
It's not accepted. Yeah. What it is like I say, I'm bi. My love knows no gender.
Mm-hmm. What?
And then the thing that the straight community says, oh, right, that's just to cover up, you're gay. And the gay community says, yeah, right, that's just to cover up, you're gay. I don't want to push me.
Push you into gay.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
The straights don't want him and the gays don't either.
Yep. I guess this was the last, or tonight is going to be the last qualifying for American Idol before
where you get to see the bad ones.
Move on to Hollywood. Here is a guy. His name is Ross Plavsic. Plavsic.
Plevich.
Thank you, Haney. He's a super nerd. He's a super smart guy, but just couldn't sing.
Hello, Ross. You just finished. What is organizing Chinese characters?
Well, basically, I noticed that a lot of them have common elements to them called radicals. Two characters, while ostensibly complex, will share a lot of innate characteristics.
I could got it.
Whoa. That leads into why you're here. Why are you here?
Well, because this is one of the many things I enjoy is singing.
Yeah.
So, what did you bring to sing for us today?
Cara Mia by Jay and the Americans.
Okay.
Cara
Great choice.
Mia, why must we say goodbye? Each time we part, my heart wants to die.
And all together now.
Cara Mia. Cara Mia.
Okay. All right, Ross.
Why?
And they wanted.
That's brutal.
I know. They wanted to, you know, give him a chance, and they even gave him a glass of water.
Look, Ross, imagine you've just won the show. What would you sing?
Probably whatever I just sang when I won the show. My original plan is to sing Cara Mia, and it usually sounds a lot better than that, but the air was really drying and my throat all scratchy. Yeah.
Would you like a sip of water?
I get tired. I've been drinking water all day. I guess it's worth a shot.
It kind of looks like my tutor.
Yeah.
When I was
You proficient in math or science?
Yeah. Oh, definitely, yes. I have a bachelor's degree in physics. I made the dean's list three times.
I want to see him take his tie off.
Oh, God, Carl, I did. Okay, come on, Russ.
That's
was Stan there?
It was like a camel in a
dress. He's like
Let's
see. I'm going to give him my best shot.
See if that made it any better.
Give it your best shot. Here we go. Come on, baby. Woo!
Love me tender.
No, yeah, Ross, this hasn't made any difference whatsoever.
Yeah, I didn't think it would. I mean, once it gets screwed up like that.
Yeah, the water, the air.
Yeah, you don't believe me. That's fine. I don't expect you to believe me. Yeah, sometimes those things happen, you know?
All right, guys, yes or no, Randy?
Yeah, I was afraid of that.
Sorry, Ross.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ross.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Bye. Bye, Ross.
Yeah, I know.
A new drink. New cup.
5 days a week, he spends sleepless hours suffering migraine headaches, lower back pain, and hot flashes to bring you what you need to hear.
According to who?
According to him. Join us again next time for Stan's Audio Grab Bag.
That Ross, surprisingly well-adjusted.
Yeah!
Took it in stride.
Took the reality approach to it.
Usually on their way out, you know, people F them.
Yep.
I'm going to show them. And they never do.
Or they yell, I'm unique.
I'm unique!
You know that? All those people, they made a mistake.
Yeah.
They don't know what they're missing. You never hear from those people ever again.
Ever. Nope.
Not one of them.
No. You might hear from this guy again.
Then again, he's a physicist.
Yeah,
he?
Something like that.
Made the Dean's List three
yes,
times.
Yes, he did. Congratulations.
Good job.
You don't sing. we'll be back.
Some see the glass as half empty. Others see it as half full. We simply see rum. Stan and Amy, 96 K-Rock.
Afternoon. Glad to have you along. It's a Monday.
You know what they say, man. Less money, more problems.
Yeah.
Isn't that what they say?
Yeah, something like
That's
that.
That's what I said.
It sounds right. About a half hour from now, we'll play Stan's One Question. Chance to win valuable prizes. I'll tell you what they are when the time comes. But you'll be pleasantly surprised with the prizes. But that'll be coming up in a half hour here on the show.
This, you shake them down for prizes pretty good.
I try to. I go every week. I go into this building and say, what do you got for me?
Shaking the tree, man. Shaking the tree.
Give me what you got because I want to give it away.
And we want it to go to our listeners.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
They say our listeners are spoiled. Oh, I don't buy that.
Oh, really? I don't buy that.
No.
This is nothing new for me. I've been on a quest, if you will, for the better part of a decade to clean up the roads here in Southwest Florida. And I'm not talking about the roads themselves. There's a lot of good construction projects going on.
May even be more than a decade. You are well known as an advocate for a better system.
A better system. It was, over a decade ago, I introduced what I called, at the time, the Stan Plan.
Mm-hmm.
And again, ahead of its time, you were such a visionary. People just didn't get it at first.
If you're new to the area and you hear Stan Plan, what kind of malarkey is this?
It's like a meluge.
It is. Let me
cockamamie idea.
Yeah, let me refresh your memories or introduce you to the Stan Plan.
Are you fed up? Have you reached your breaking point? Isn't it time somebody did something about useless tourist traffic on our main roads? Speak up and be heard. Call your city, county, and state leaders and demand that the Stan Plan be put into law. Under the Stan Plan, full-time residents will take their streets back from tourists, snowbirds, and the elderly. Here's how it works. from 8:30 to 10 a.m., 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m., and from 4:30 to 6 p.m., Monday through Friday, our seasonal guests and part-time residents will be banned from using Major Lee and Collier County roadways. They'll be identified by a bright yellow sticker on their windshield. If caught the first time, it'll be a $100 fine. A second offense means a $300 fine, loss of your license for a month, and a driver's exam to get it back. A third offense? You'll do jail time. Floridians want you to enjoy your stay in our area. Enjoy our beaches and little shops. But remember, it is our area. If you're on the road for no reason, get off or you'll pay. Medical emergencies not included. Contact your local city council, county commissioner, or state representative and demand the Stand Plan.
Well, let me tell you right now, it didn't pass.
No.
It was never even seriously considered.
So, you know what? I let it die and let you people suffer. But this year, I don't know if it's me or the people that are down here, probably. But it has, and I pointed it out to Tommy last week. I said, past few weeks, we're at the peak of hell.
And
on the roads.
And you're not alone, even in the local media. Naples Daily News, Don Farmer wrote a column on Friday that has the seasonal residents, the snowbirds, if you will, in a tizzy. Because he was complaining about his Publix that he shops at.
Yeah.
And that it seemed like they all showed up at once. Blocked all the aisles with their shopping carts, talking about whether they took 75 or 29 to come into town.
Pathetic.
Yep.
Well, since Saturday, I've been jotting down some thoughts.
You have?
It's always dangerous.
I have been caught in the last 3 days in car accidents. I haven't been a part of them. I've witnessed them.
But where you are is ground zero.
The desirable Daniels corridor where idiots live. And
idiots drive.
And people do not know how to drive.
Some of the things that you have seen involving the elderly are they're mind-blowing.
And I'm going to...
Because the elderly think we are looking out for them, but they don't look out for us.
And you know what? In my notes that I jotted down, not only the elderly, but other people who should know better. I have put together, and again, this is an open list. And if you want to contribute to it, feel free. These are just simple.
You're saying this is like an open source thing, like a Linux
it
deal?
It is. It's a never-ending list of just observations that if people just stop doing it, things would move much more
smoothly. So you're not asking anyone to actually do anything. You're asking them to just stop.
Stop it. When you're on I-75 goes all the way up to Ohio.
You don't say.
On the other side of the
where
state.
Where does it dead end?
At the Great Lakes. And then on the other side of the state is I-95, which goes all the way up to the northeast. These are what they call major arteries. This is what keeps the state flowing. When I am on I-75, not because of an accident or one exit, and my average speed is 55 miles an hour, in a 70 zone, and it's both sides of the road.
For no apparent reason?
For no apparent reason at all.
Mm-hmm.
That there's a problem. There's a big problem.
Stan, before you get into your big part of the list, does this have a name? Is this
the Stan plan, is it not?
No, that was this is just Stan's rules of the road.
Okay.
Because I couldn't get the Stan plan passed. Thank you, Tommy.
You could call it Stan's Rules of the Road or Roar.
Yes. Yup. And these were just observations that I made. It's not in any...
And you're not kidding. You actually jotted these down as you were
there
driving.
They are.
Written out. by hand.
That's not the safest thing to do while you're
driving.
Don't
worry. I can drive with a knee. This is not in any book or test that you'll take, but travel at the speed of traffic. And I mean that for you nut jobs out there that want to lane hop and do 95, or those of you who think that you got to do the minimum speed of 45 on the highway. Travel at the speed of traffic. If you're go down to Miami, take 75 down Alligator Alley.
You're
doing 80, okay? But travel at that speed because you're a hazard if you're traveling slower than that. And you're a menace if you're traveling faster than that.
If you're traveling slower, you're just like a nervous Nell and you can't go 80, stay to the right.
And I'll get to that.
All right. We've talked to, let's say, experts, and speeders, not good, but the slow drivers are the ones cause the accidents.
Yep. I don't want to single you out, but I'm going to have to. You motorcyclists. If you ride a motorcycle, make sure it has the horsepower for the type of road that you're on. I don't want to see, like I saw again today, somebody on something that could be a cross between a scooter, a moped, and a motorcycle, you with a backpack on, driving down a major 55-mile-an-hour road the left-hand lane doing 35.
That's bad.
Make sure you have the bike necessary for that type of road condition.
Remember, I had that little, it was a bigger than a scooter, but smaller than a bike, but it wouldn't go over 40 or so. I would never take it out on 41. No. I just use it on neighborhood streets.
Does not belong there. Make sure your motorcycle has the horsepower to keep up with traffic.
And people that ride those sort of things, unusually aggressive, where they're almost, their body language and the way they ride that thing is like, I have every right to be here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they got their license plate. They can get their bike registered for it's roadworthy, but there are certain roads you shouldn't take it out on. If your little scooter only does 45 miles an hour,
And that's top end.
And the traffic is moving at 60, you're a hazard. And speaking of bikers, this is another thing. I saw it on a highway. Do not take up, if you're traveling with a buddy, two or more bikers, do not share both lanes of traffic at a constant speed so the two of you can chit-chat while there's traffic behind you. Meaning biker number one is in the right lane, biker two is in the left lane, and you're riding together and conversing.
You mean chips style?
Chips style. And there's a line of traffic behind you, and you can't pass. Because let me also tell you this. People in cars worry about motorcyclists too. They don't want to hit you. So try to use one lane. My observation.
Mm-hmm.
Same goes for, and I hate to bring them up because 99.99% of them are good people.
Well, don't get racial here.
No, you truckers.
Oh. Well, truckers got a job to do,
truckers,
man.
Have a job to do. And I understand that, and I appreciate the work that you do.
But secure the load.
Well, I'll get to that, too, because, what I saw today. Do not share the two lanes and riding together. In other words, you got Mack Truck A in the right lane and Mack Truck B in the left lane. You're going the same speed and you got a line of traffic behind you.
Well, that just goes without saying. Motorcycles, trucks, cars, no one should be riding side by side anywhere.
Chip style, call it bonanza style as they're all riding up together. You know, you don't do it. Stay in a line. Let the flow of traffic go around you.
Yep.
Simple rules. And as Haney pointed out, please, I know you guys got a job to do. Tie your load down.
Yep.
And I'm not talking about that cheap tarpaulin that you throw over the top
all ripped up.
That's ripped up.
It's what they call a flapper.
That's ripped up, flapping in the wind.
knocking gravel out of your load instead of keeping it in.
And here's the other thing with truckers, and I know some of them, hey, I cover my load. But the tailgate to the dump truck is all full of dirt and gravel from wherever you were at.
Yeah, it's got little nooks and crannies where the stuff can linger for a while.
It's flying out, and it's bouncing off people's windshields, and then you get an old person behind you that's getting hit with gravel, panics, goes into the left lane as somebody's flying by, you got an accident. And what I saw today, it was a garbage truck, but it wasn't like a Lee County, who's the ones that pick up for Lee County?
Waste management? Ones, or,
yeah, it was an off-brand garbage truck that had open doors on the side, and Mack truck, though, it was a big truck, no doors.
Wow.
And had a piece of sheet metal that was being held down with a bungee cord to keep it flapping. And on US 41, the garbage truck in the left lane, bungee cord flies off the piece of flapping sheet metal and starts waving in the wind, missing cars in the right lane by inches.
Ugh.
The shotgun driver at the stoplight went, because there was no door, just climbed out hanging on the rearview mirror trying to figure out a way to lock it down. Dangerous. And again, I don't want to focus on you truckers. Most of you do the right thing.
Well, and truckers are professional. When it gets real dangerous is when you got Pete either driving a U-Haul or something else that's too much truck for him, or Pete, who's loaded up a small pickup truck with all of his earthly possessions, with a bed and a couch stacked vertically.
Yep.
And again, held down with a bungee cord.
Oh, I've seen worse too. In like a wagon or a sedan, mattress and box spring on top, not tied down.
Yeah.
They're driving, holding it,
and they
got a buddy riding shotgun holding the other side, just with their arms, trying to hold it against a 60-mile-an-hour wind when you're driving on the interstate.
Well, that's what's known as Armstrong security.
Yeah. Let me tell you, Harv, it's against the law.
Now, why are you taking it out on Harv?
You know what? If you're going to load something on your pickup truck, your station wagon.
This is really affecting you.
Okay? Make sure you have the proper vehicle for it. Here's a tip for you. If you're not quite sure, rent something.
And then make sure you can drive it.
Yeah.
I made that mistake once.
Did you get something a little bit too big for you?
I will be the first to admit it. This thing had like 20 gears.
Oh, yeah.
And was huge. It was like driving a damn semi.
That's another thing. At the rental place.
And I couldn't.
Make sure you can drive it.
Well, I couldn't do anything about it because I had made arrangements and actually picked up the truck when there was nobody there. I get dropped off and I'm behind the wheel of this behemoth.
Couple other observations.
And people, just because, and I'm behind the wheel of this thing and I'm struggling. I'll admit, I got used to it after a while, but the people around me assumed that I knew what I was doing. Don't ever assume that.
A couple other observations. Use a turn signal. That's what they're there in the car for. If you're going to jump a lane, you're going to make a turn.
Let people know.
Simple turn signal.
Yep.
Know the rule, and I know a lot of snowbirds coming from up north, where they don't have this law, know what the law means when it's right on red.
Yes.
Know what it means.
What does it mean, Stan?
First of all, right on red is just like a stop sign. It doesn't mean you can fly through an intersection on a red light and make a right-hand turn. You got to come to a stop and then make your right-hand turn when it is safe.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't fly out there. And for the people that don't understand the law, maybe come where there's no right on red. If you get a friendly toot on the horn from somebody behind you when there is absolutely nothing coming at you and you're sitting there, think twice. Maybe, you know, understand the law.
Yeah, you can go. You don't have to sit there until it turns green.
this has already been said. left lane is for passing, yep, not for cruising and yep, enjoying the lovely sights of Florida.
Oh, look at that, a new mall.
Ladies, no hair doing, no makeup putting on.
You'll never, you're wasting your breath.
The rear view mirror is to see cars behind you, not to see how pretty you're looking. And another one that I jotted down because it happened probably two nights ago. When it's dark, put your headlights on. I'm on I-75 heading northbound to take the Daniels exit. I'm between Alico and Daniels doing, well, for that area, 60 in a 70. And I look up into my rearview mirror, and tailgating me is a pickup truck without its headlights on.
Jeez.
And then decides to get into the left lane and pass. And as I take the Daniels
How
exit,
dark is it?
Dark. Headlight
you mean
dark.
Nighttime.
Nighttime.
Jeez.
And I take the Daniels exit. He's in the left lane in his pickup truck. No headlights on.
See, that's the danger of well-lit bar parking lots.
Yeah.
And he flies by me. But here was the thing. I know I can tell when my headlights aren't working.
How can you tell,
I'm
Stan?
I'm thinking this guy's being an ass because he's probably drunk or something and doesn't have his headlights on. No, he thought he had his headlights on because his taillights were all lit up beautiful, but nothing on in the front.
Wow.
Taillights showing, because I saw as I'm pulling off the exit, I'm watching him go over the bridge, over the exit bridge.
Taillights on, no
taillights
headlights.
Taillights on, no headlights on, and he's barreling.
Did he have his parking lights on?
No, maybe nothing. Only... Nope.
So nothing.
Nothing. Could not see him behind me.
Stan, let me give you a scenario and see how that would fit in to your rules of the road. Let's say Harv and Dave,
yes,
they're buddies, and Dave's sweet Ford Thunderbird, probably a 83,
yeah,
is not running, but Harv is a whiz with cars, but he's got to get it to his garage. So they tie 20 feet of rope from Harv's truck to the bumper of the Thunderbird. And Dave is behind the wheel of the Thunderbird, uh-huh, which is not running, but being pulled by 20 feet of rope. And he has the hazard lights on,
yeah,
and reaches his arm out the window to wave you past. But can't seem to control the Thunderbird because it's drifting all over the road because he doesn't have any power steering. Any suggestions?
Call a tow truck.
Yeah, well, first of all, you're breaking the law again. Tow truck would be nice.
Oh, did I mention top speed of 20 miles an hour?
Yeah, you're a lawbreaker. You're breaking the law.
Really? You're not allowed to tow a vehicle?
Not with 20 feet of rope.
Make sure you give it, you know, plenty. You want to have plenty of play in that rope.
So that, you know, when who's driving the front car?
Harv.
Harv goes, and so that Dave, who's in the stalled out Thunderbird with the caution lights going, uh-huh, behind the 20 foot of rope, can feel that tug.
Right.
That jolt, that, yeah, we're moving.
But Harv can't hit the brakes too hard because your power brakes aren't working in the T-Bird.
I know.
You end,
yeah,
up rear-ending yourself.
Yeah, because that T-Bird was a Brome. So it was power everything.
Right. Stupid, stupid, stupid. Just a few notes I've written down. That's all.
Very helpful, Stan.
Anything you want to say to the people who make their living delivering trailers? You know, mobile homes, wide load.
They got a tough job.
That's a really tough job. You know what? But you can pay the extra money to get the police to escort you. I've seen where they're moving mobile homes, and in front and behind are police cars that are taking it down the road.
I've never seen police cars, but I have seen, you know, other vehicles that have the wide load, like a pickup truck,
yeah,
that travel with
here's
them.
Here's a clue. Label it.
Stan, do you have any problem with people who disingenuously join a funeral procession so that they can run the lights?
I got no problem with that.
Come on.
I don't know where you're going.
You just turn on your headlights.
Turn on your headlights, you're in.
then you peel off when you get where you're going.
Yep, wherever you're going.
And try to look sad.
Yep, you're in.
Appropriately somber.
Yep. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll play one question. 96, K-Rock.
Garrett, Hawaii 5-0.
Batman.
Kojak.
Frank Cannon.
Jim Rock.
Rick Stan here.
This is 86 calling control.
I'm Mark Haney.
John Robinson commanding.
Are you finished?
Stan and Haney. 96 K-Rock.
Haney in the afternoon. Glad to have you along. It's a Monday, about a half hour away from your first look at traffic, news headlines with Mark Haney and the 4 o'clock fluffer all on the way here on 96 K-Rock. But first, it's time to play Stan's one question. Basically, how this works is I will ask one question. There are multiple answers. As a matter of fact, this time there are 5 correct answers to my one question. I will ask the question, we will open up the phone lines, and if you answer my question correctly with one of the 5 correct answers, you'll win a prize.
This is like only in real life. It's like you flipped over a Monopoly card and Rich Uncle gives you $50 gift certificate.
Precisely. You want to play Stan's one question? Here's the telephone number.
You woke up this morning, you weren't thinking, hey, somebody's going to give me something for nothing today.
Right. Could be your lucky day today. 277 or 775-9600 if you want to play this.
Hi, I'm Stan, and I've got just
one question.
Oh, Jesus. Joseph
has to deal with male-female relationships.
By the way, looking snazzy.
What
is that? Is that like a rhinestone rose there on the jumper?
Nice. And look at that belt buckle.
Wow. Big as a hubcap.
Yeah. What? How does that work? Is that like off a watch battery?
Don't worry. At the end of the show, I'm going to twirl it over my head and throw it out in the crowd.
Yeah.
Always been a showman, my friend.
You know how when, especially, it's not all just when it's new, but when a relationship is new, women love the public displays of affection.
The old PDA.
Yep. If you're out, they want to hold your hand or be on you, sneaking little kisses, and just showing you off a little bit.
It doesn't last very long.
No. But it's the public displays of affection.
You remember that, fellas, you know, back when she liked you.
Yup.
Way back when.
Now, according to the experts, surveyed a lot of men throughout the country. My one question to you is, and ladies, you should know this too. You're more than welcome to play. Guys, you should know the answers to these things. When should a woman lay off public displays of affection?
You mean like hanging all over,
yep,
you know, tongue in the ear?
Yup, and the little whispers in the neck, rubbing it off. Look, my one
You've
question.
You've never been a big fan of that.
I feel uneasy like that. It's just, you know what? Save it for the bedroom.
There's a time and a place.
Yeah. Well, and they asked guys around the country, and I'm asking you my one question. When should a woman lay off public displays of affection? What situation? First person to answer my question correctly with one of the five correct answers. Ahoy.
Ahoy, Stan. How are you?
Good. Who's this?
This is Adam.
Adam, my one question to you is, when should a woman lay off public displays of affection?
I'm going to say while in church.
It should be on the list, but it's not.
I would think that would be frowned upon.
It should be on the list, but believe
maybe
it or not.
Maybe that was number six and didn't quite make the top five.
Good point, Tom.
Yup. Ahoy, who's this?
Tony.
Tony, my one question to you, Tony, is when should a woman lay off public displays of affection?
You there? Sorry.
Too tough for Tony.
He froze up.
Yup. Ahoy.
Hey, Stan.
How are you, buddy?
Hey, man. How you doing, buddy?
What's your name?
I'm Brian.
Brian, my one question to you, when should women lay off public displays of affection?
Well, I'm usually not in public, but when I'm on the can, it's...
No.
Who would think of that?
And let me tell you right now, these rules don't apply.
What's wrong with you?
For in the home. Well, what's wrong with you?
Man who enjoys a blumpkin, I guess.
what is that?
Hey, you don't want to know.
I do know. I just heard it called something different.
No.
Similar.
It's different than the Danny Thomas, let me put it that way. That involves a glass coffee table.
All right!
How many girls, how many cups?
Two girls, one cup.
Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, this is Tobias. How you doing, guys?
Tobias?
Yeah, that's me.
From Arrested Development?
No, but I do get that a lot.
I bet you do. Tobias, my one question to you. When should a woman lay off the public displays of affection?
I would say the first thing that came to mind was church.
No, you know what? It should be on the list, but it's not. I guess the people they surveyed for this...
are heathens?
We're not churchgoers.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean the answer's wrong.
Right.
It's just not in the top five.
I certainly would have it in the top five. You don't want to be there while the priest is giving his sermon and, you know, she's all over you.
Right.
Homily.
Could you imagine Reverend Love seeing that?
Oh, my God.
I think he's actually addressed that.
Yeah. Oh, man. Ahoy.
Hey, Stan.
Who's this?
This is Rob.
Rob, my one question to you is, when should a woman...
You're not known as Rob the Slob, are you?
No.
When should a woman lay off public displays of affection?
When you're at, like, an office party? Business function?
I'm going to give it to you. Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. When you are amongst coworkers and in a place where people that you work with are present.
Mm-hmm.
According to the experts, it's inappropriate to hang all over your man in any kind of work environment. Most guys also claim to have said it makes them look whipped, which is not the way they want to be perceived around their boss and other coworkers. You are absolutely right. Rob, is that your name, Rob?
Yeah.
Rob, you got a $50 gift certificate for lunch, so congratulations.
All right. Thanks,
I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to put you on hold, buddy.
Okay.
Tommy will get the information to you, how you can get your certificate. Nice job.
All right, thanks.
All right, hold on. Line two. Four more correct answers to my one question. We already got with coworkers.
The odds business. Are good.
Mm-hmm. Four more right answers. Here's the next prize. And you got to pick them up this week. I think I'm going to only give this away maybe one more time. It's a great prize. The Super Bowl is on Sunday. On Saturday, a lot of the pre-Super Bowl festivities are going on in Tampa.
Oh, there's so much going on. NFL Network has gone completely nuts. They're covering everything. I think, like, you watched the players get dressed.
What part of the big pre-Super Bowl festivities going on in Tampa?
You'll be right in the thick of the action.
If you can answer my one question, four more correct answers left. When should a woman lay off public displays of affection?
And don't say church.
Because it's not on the list.
Or bathroom.
Or public. Bathroom in your house ain't public.
Well, different people have different customs.
They call it a sickness. ahoy.
How about in front of my parents?
Yes.
Wow.
Done.
Boom.
What's your name?
David.
David.
Congratulations for not being dumb, David.
You got it, pal. Hold on the line, Tommy.
I just don't go to church.
Evidently, the people who compiled this list don't either.
And I'm shocked that so many listen to Stan and Haney go to church.
Why would that shock
you? Why would that shock
you? I don't know. Just did.
Hold on, Dave. Hold on. Line one. That's the way to do it. In front of his family. If you're touchy-feely around his dad or his brothers, they'll tease him till no end. And even if you want to show his mom how much you love her son, hanging all over his neck and giving him a hickey is not the way to do it. So there you go. Around the family, around the coworkers. Those are given. What else on the list? The three that were not gotten? This is true. Think about it. When he's in the middle of a conversation with somebody.
Mm.
You're talking to Tommy about something about the band.
Yeah.
And then suddenly all over you. No, you don't.
Well, yeah.
It's inappropriate.
You know, let's say I'm having a business meeting and I'm in the middle of it. Yeah, so anyway, 5K and then...
Hey, baby, you were great last night.
Yeah, right. Inappropriate.
A time and a place for everything.
As they describe it, even if he's just talking to a neighbor or...
Yeah, I mean...
So this is your business lunch?
Yeah.
How's business?
Yeah.
Or he's buying something at a register.
Adam Levine have been talking business.
Yeah.
Or maybe I have female company or something, and you come traipsing in with an armload of groceries. That would be some surprise.
Yeah, it would.
Yep. So, when he's in the middle of a conversation.
That's your idea of a dish? My God, she's a little old for you, isn't she? What is this, Be Kind to Senior Citizens Week?
Believe it or not, this is on the list, and it ranked pretty high, but think like a guy thinks. If you're at a movie and he wants to watch the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, if the two of you are out and Gran Torino's on the screen.
You're nothing!
You don't want to be distracted. Now, if it's some, girly movie.
God,
right.
You're being a bastard. But do you have to be such a tasteless bastard?
I mean, if you're watching The Notebook, fine.
Right.
Oh, The Notebook's a good movie.
If you're watching Gran Torino, he wants to watch the movie.
Right.
And the other one that was not taken as a correct answer to my one question, when should a woman lay off public displays of affection? And you'll find out, sweetheart, the hard way on public transportation.
Why do you say the hard ways, Dan?
Whether you're on a bus, whether you're on a train, whether you're taking a subway, anything that is, you're around a crowd of people. There, according to what they say, guys are more likely to feel uncomfortable with public displays of affection if they're in tight quarters with other people banging into them, touching them, inadvertently.
Yeah, you don't want any possible arousal in tight quarters.
You don't want to make the mistake. They say train, bus, elevator with other people. Elevator by yourselves can be fun. But when there's a crowd of people there and you're crammed in, lay off, sweetheart. So there you go. That according
Stop
to the
grabbing
experts.
At me.
Yep.
Take your tongue out of my ear.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, you'll get your first look at traffic, news headlines with Mark Haney, and the 4 o'clock fluffer on 96 K-Rock.
A lot of people ask, how did Stan and Haney get this gig? It's actually an interesting story. You see, they were hanging out in a Home Depot parking lot, all liquored up before sunrise, when Brad Beasley drove up, yelled something at them in Spanish, showed them a $10 bill, and told them to get into his truck pronto. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Stan and Haney in the afternoon. Glad to have you along. It's Monday. And, you know, I got up this morning and started reading the news press. Headline made me chuckle.
Well, I'm glad you found a headline to make you chuckle. You know, people getting shot.
I know. There was one.
Really?
Yeah, the headline read, Chowder, weather, bring people out to the taste of Pine Island.
Oh. Why did that make you chuckle?
Our good friend, Tony D'Amico.
Oh, well, yeah.
You see the word chowder.
Yeah, sure. You know damn well he had some kind of tent put up there or some kind of...
Was he mentioned in the article?
Well, here's what it says.
Because, I mean, he is like the chowder king.
So he says... visitors to the annual Taste of Pine Island were chowing down on chowder and registering for local prizes at Phillips Park in the island's center. Visitors paid $5 to enter the park to sample some of the island's best food, but the highlight of the day happened to be the winner of the chowder competition.
He had to have won that.
Which earns praise from locals who pride themselves on knowing good seafood.
Yeah.
You know damn well he was there, and you know damn well he didn't win.
I just thought of something strange.
What?
You're pretty rough on Tony, but, you know, of all the years that we've known the guy, and God knows how many remotes and all of that we've done at Cape Crepe and Chowder.
Sure.
I've never seen a paying customer in his restaurant.
Never. Let me see if he's there, because we should call him up and see how he did.
I'll leave him alone.
I just want to see if he's there. I just want...
Chowder.
What?
Chowder.
Hello.
Hello. Who's calling?
Okay, he's there. He's there.
Why do you do that?
We gotta call him up. We gotta call him up. Ask him how he did in that chowder competition Pine Island.
That's fine if you want to do that, why did you call and hang up on him?
You know he lost.
Okay. Why'd you call and hang up on the guy?
I can do that if I want to.
Well, I thought you wanted to talk to him.
Yeah, I do want to talk to him. I'll talk to him in a little while.
Why are you messing with him now?
Just checking to make sure he's there.
He's an old man.
Watch.
Oh, come on.
What are you doing?
See if he's there.
Just wrong. It scares him.
Do you have caller ID?
Chowder.
What?
Chowder.
Hello.
Hello. Who's calling?
He's there. Okay,
just
leave him alone.
We'll call him up in a little bit. Coming up in less than 1 hour, it'll be Mark Haney in the news. Let's get a look at the headlines, shall we? He's there.
Torturing an old man. A friend of ours.
Well...
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, the sports world riveted this past weekend. Of course, I'm talking about the main event, the fight of the century.
Oh, yeah.
Danny Bonaducci and Jose Canseco squaring off. We will have the results. Big monster truck rally in Madison, Wisconsin, Saturday night. The promoter/announcer run over and killed by a monster truck. He walked right in front of it. The video's online, but it stops. You watch the CSI?
I do.
Do you know a Gerald McCullough?
What character does he play?
I don't know. That's why I asked.
Gerald McCullough.
I guess he bonded with Marg Hellenberger because they have that strange G in their names.
Right.
This gentleman, fought off a knife-wielding mugger on the subway.
Wow.
The word on the street has it that Tracy Morgan has the words stovetop tattooed on his manhood.
What the?
Sad news and a follow-up to a story we did last week. The beautiful Brazilian model who had to have both her hands and feet amputated has died.
Oh, yeah.
A man killed his wife. Why?
Why?
She had the audacity to change her Facebook relationship status to single.
That bitch.
Well, I'll tell you, that Facebook is nothing but trouble.
Evil!
A man in Australia fired from his job.
Why?
Because he didn't use toilet paper.
Oh, ow! Hey.
A female bank robber rat-holed $1,690 in her most intimate of areas. And finally, a man in Connecticut in big trouble with the law because he told his nanny he had to physically inspect her for herpes. It's before she could swim in the pool with the family. These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way like a stream of projectile vomit in less than an hour on the news.
Thank you, Mark. Now something we like to call around here, the 4 o'clock fluffer. Mark?
Stan? Dick Cheney received a standing ovation when he arrived at the Wyoming state capitol. Then the crowd gathered around him to listen with wide-eyed amazement as he told them about things like books, electricity, and black people. President Bush is installing a security gate at his new home in Dallas. Bush is said to be very security conscious. However, he's still looking for something that will keep the nightmares at bay.
Good morning.
John McCain says he's highly disappointed that President Obama picked a lobbyist as Deputy Defense Secretary. And if there is anyone entitled to lecture others about making bad picks, it's John McCain.
He should be able to deliver bottle hot water to dehydrated babies.
I have no idea. How could he possibly lose that election?
I don't know. Hold on a second. Hold on.
Oh, Stan.
Wait a second. Let me just see.
This is cruel.
Chowder.
Yep, he's there.
Alec Baldwin has been selected as the voice of radio broadcasts for the New York Philharmonic. Evidently, he's just running up the score as the most successful Baldwin brother. By the way, did you see his daughter?
Did not.
Good looking? She is 13, and he had her dressed up for the award show. She looked like she was 23.
Wow. You mean that rude, thoughtless little pig?
That one.
Wow.
And, you know, God bless her. You can tell she got a lot of her looks from her mama. Patrick Swayze says that he's writing a memoir. He says the work is nearly complete. In fact, he's working on the ending as we speak.
Oh, that God. Is... Oh, I cannot believe you said that!
Sharon Stone's Hollywood Walk of Fame star was smudged with the words fur hag by anti-fur activists. Ironic, since that's the last thing I remember her displaying.
Yeah.
Linda Hogan, that's Hulk Hogan's wife,
yeah,
recently complained that she has no privacy. She then squeezed herself into a dress five sizes too small and jammed her tongue down the pool boy's throat for the gathered throng of photographers.
Hey, look at me.
I'd rather not. Katy Perry, who's a pop singer,
thank you,
says she'd rather die than go without sex for a year. Probably won't happen based on her high profile, but like many of today's pop tarts, she's already dead behind the eyes. The father of Amy Winehouse says that she almost died twice due to her drug abuse. Though he says she was sleeping and/or passed out most of the day yesterday, so all in all, an uneventful weekend for Amy Winehouse.
No, no, no.
The storyline for the Guitar Hero Metallica game has been revealed. Basically, you start out as a kick-ass metal band, and then when you hit the peak of your creative and commercial success, you cut your hair, go grunge, and alienate all your fans by suing Napster like little bitches.
Yeah.
Katie Stamm of Indiana fought off laryngitis to win the Miss America crown.
Yes, she did.
Ironically, her illness may have actually helped her win the coveted title, since the male judges found a girl who couldn't talk was downright irresistible. Katie also took home a $50,000 scholarship. Now that ought to hold her over till the Playboy money rolls in. The Department of Homeland Security has been granted $450 million to study sick livestock. Critics say that's way too much money just to TiVo The View.
Livestock.
To help cover budget costs, 14 states are considering proposals to allow or expand legalized gambling. The states would then cover budget costs by placing all taxpayer money on red.
Well, it could happen.
A 6.1 magnitude earthquake rattled the state of Alaska over the weekend. Luckily, the Palin family escaped injury since there were no books to fall from the shelves. The U.S. Army has exceeded its recruitment goals for the first time since 2004. We can only assume the increase is due in large part to that rocking citizen soldier video in movie theaters. USA Today will begin furloughing employees to save money. No word on how this will affect the coverage your fourth grader has come to rely on. Iraq's black population hopes that Barack Obama marks a turning point for them as well. Joe Biden gives a similar message of hope to Iraqis with artificial foreheads. South Korean President Lee Myung-bak nominated Yoon Jae-yong to replace Kang Man-soo as finance minister. Soo celebrated the news with his wife Chung Wang-ding and their three children, Seol Ki-hwan, Park Jin-young, and Bobby.
Jesus.
Iceland's economy is in total collapse. I blame all those refrigerators with their own ice makers. There goes the nation's number one export. The Pope now has his own YouTube channel. Now, if you haven't already seen the one where he takes a soccer ball to the junk. A Mexican mayor has proclaimed his city the kissing capital of the world. It's a perfect destination for young lovers who enjoy travel and getting beheaded by drug traffickers. A Nigerian newspaper claims that a suspected car thief transformed into a goat. Well, it's from Nigeria. You know it's got to be true. The gray wolf will be the seventh creature to be removed from the endangered species list. And if Brittany stays on her med, Sean Preston and the other one should be added soon as well. When a woman is promiscuous or flirty, if you will, it can actually make her man's sperm swim faster. Or in the case of O.J. Simpson, make the arm slash harder. Motion sensors in retirement homes are helping more seniors live independently. In fact, on some days, Kurt Warner snaps the ball to himself. Starbucks has started brewing coffee with Chinese beans. Chinese beans are really no different than regular ones, except for the fact that they're ground by tanks.
Me Chinese, me play joke.
By almost all accounts, 2009 will be among the toughest years ever for car dealerships. Don't believe me? Well, just check out how many giant pink inflatable gorillas are standing in unemployment lines. Google experienced its first ever drop in profit. As a result, Google's stock price dropped from something you can't afford to something you still can't afford. An Australian Open doubles match featuring Venus and Serena Williams was interrupted Friday by a male streaker. A man was apprehended and charged with a double fault since both balls were out.
Oh, come on. That is just...
It's cheap.
Disgusting. Miller High Life will air a one-second advertisement during the Super Bowl. They're going to use the time to elaborate on its best qualities. Champagne and beers.
That's what they say.
David Beckham recently made his Italian League soccer debut. Beckham says playing in Italy feels a little different than it does in the United States because of something he calls crowds. Time now for today's news quiz.
Don't worry, it's multiple choice.
This week's headlines will be dominated by the upcoming clash between A, the Arizona Cardinals and the Pittsburgh Steelers, B, bank executives and shareholders, or C, Barack Obama and reality. Joe Biden says he sees his role as Barack Obama's A, confidant, B, second in command, or C, token white buddy. Nancy Pelosi says she's open to the idea of A, prosecuting former Bush officials, B, lowering taxes on the middle class, or C, overhauling her face with taxpayer dollars. Governor Rod Blagojevich claims he's the victim of an A, elaborate plot to raise taxes, B, intricate government conspiracy, or C,
air joke here,
an overzealous wig maker. The Miss America pageant was won by A, Miss Indiana, B, Miss Michigan, or C, anyone who didn't watch it.
Yep.
Singer Aaron Neville recently celebrated his 68th birthday. Neville spent the day, A, with family, B, relaxing at home, or C, freaking people the F out with that hideous cheek mole.
Bothers me.
Jim Carrey says that kissing Ewan McGregor in their new film was A, a dream come true, B, a big laugh for everyone on the set, or C, much like dating Jenny McCarthy. Miss America crowned over the weekend, not that anyone cared, but maybe they will next year if the producers listen to today's list of the
top
ways to spice up the Miss America pageant.
Top ways to spice up the Miss America pageant.
When it gets down to the final two girls, add one cup.
Oh.
Install a hidden vomit cam in backstage bathrooms. Allow Governor Rod Blagojevich to sell the crown to the highest bidder. All Palin, all the time. Taser contestants, whenever they say the most important thing on earth is, quote, the children. Eliminate the swimsuit competition, specifically the tops and also to the bottoms. The same way you spice up any room full of hot dimwits. Jaeger bombs!
Right. Yeah!
Restrict entrance exclusively to former Flavor of Love girls. The winner is the only contestant that does not have to sleep with Trump. That'll make him work. For the talent competition, only allow contestants who know how to play the skin flute. Stage a massive mud wrestling match against those Miss USA whores. Give Miss District of Columbia 5 minutes to show off her crack pipe burns. Appeal to gay men by getting Mario Lopez to introduce a new feature. The scissoring competition.
Yeah!
Instead of a talent competition, choose the winner by a last bitch standing knife fight.
I'd love that.
Make the entire broadcast scratch and sniff. Replace the catwalk with a sewer grate. Hook contestants to a lie detector machine and ask them what they really think of having a black president. And finally, ask contestants how they would fix the current economic crisis. Then implement their solutions immediately, because frankly, I'm starting to get scared. And that, my friends, is the 4 o'clock fluffer.
Thank you, Mark.
Stan?
Mark?
Stan?
Thank you. When we come back, I think we'll give Tony D'Amico a call.
Just leave the man alone.
From Cape Crepe and Chowder. Ask him how that big chowder competition went on Pine Island over the weekend.
Jesus.
Huh? How about that?
Maybe he won it. You don't know.
I doubt it highly. We'll be back.
What's the matter, Sam? Why all the gloom?
Oh, I just got a load of bad news. Things haven't been going so good lately. Rotten programs and very bad announcements. The big boss was here and he gave me a month to put this station on paying basis. Or we're through.
Your worries are over. You're looking at the best radio announcer that ever pushed a verb through a microphone.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
The afternoon. Glad to have you along. It's a Monday.
Uh-huh.
About a half hour away from news with Mark Haney. I was telling you about this earlier. I saw the headline in the news press, and
you chuckled.
I chuckled to myself. Chowder weather bring people out to taste of Pine Island. News press, I guess the article ran yesterday, said visitors to the annual Taste of Pine Island were chowing down on chowder and registering for local prizes. Visitors pay $5 to enter the park, then purchase samples of some of the island's best food. But the big deal,
what everybody was waiting for was the chowder competition, which earns praise from locals who pride themselves on knowing good seafood.
Why are you saying the word chowder like that? Like
chowder.
You're like stretching the R
because,
out.
Because Tony D'Amico from Cape Crepe and Chowder, why do I have a gut feeling he drove the old Tornado out there, set up a couple of folding chairs with a vat of his junk.
Come on. He prides his, he loves his chowder.
We got to call him. Let me just make sure he's there. We'll talk to him. I just want to stir the pot up just a little bit. The chowder pot.
Yeah, pot of chowder.
Yeah.
Chowder.
Yeah, he's there.
What
just,
are you doing?
Just making sure he's there, so when I talk to him, you know, he'll be expecting the call.
But aren't you calling him like right now?
Yeah, I just want to prime it up there a little bit. Just give him a little taste of what's about to come. Now I got to switch it back on. There it is.
Okay,
hold on. That's...
You think?
Yeah. I keep having to look down at the number.
Chowder.
Chowder. Hey! Hey, Tony! It's Stan and Henny calling.
Hey!
How are you, buddy?
I gotta get a trap put on the phone line.
A trap? What do you mean, a trap?
What's that?
Right? I'm gonna have... the phone company pulled a lunch. I've been getting prank calls.
You have?
All day long.
Oh, my God.
It happened. Oh, Jesus. When was it? It happened back in November.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
And the call stopped.
Uh-huh.
And so I let it go.
Don't you have...
And evidently, somebody got it out for me.
Don't you have caller ID?
And I locked the doors.
You locked the doors? Don't you have caller ID? You can find out where the number's coming from. You don't need to pull the LUDs or do a trap.
I have what they call the senior package.
The senior package? What's that?
It's where you're paying $6.95 per month,
uh-huh,
and 25 cents for each local call.
And so no ID, no caller ID, you meathead? Nothing like that?
No.
Meathead?
to what do I owe the pleasure?
Well, you know what? I got up.
Because
the...
let me tell you, my friend.
Yeah, Meathead. What?
Other than these prank phone calls.
Right. What a nuisance.
I have been enjoying myself,
uh-huh,
where I made myself up a picture of Tony's famous margaritas.
Oh, hey. So you've been drinking that all day, huh?
Right.
Meathead. You know what? The reason I called... Tony, I'm talking to you. We're buddies. The reason I called, all right, and the reason I called is I picked up the paper this morning, and darn if I didn't, I forgot all about it. It was the big Taste of Pine Island this weekend, where they have the big chowder competition. Something tells me you were there, right, Meathead?
Pardon me?
I'm just asking, how did you do at the big chowder competition at Taste of Pine Island? Lord knows.
You take it, sir?
Yes, sir.
Do you take me for a fool?
I've never taken you for a fool.
Then why do you insist on referring to me as a meathead?
I don't know what you're talking about, Tony. I don't know if there might be a bad phone line with that senior line.
What is it you want? What do you want from me?
You
only call when you want something.
That is such a lie! That's you! I just saw in the paper. I know you go out to it every year. How did you do at the Taste of Pine Island?
That's for amateurs.
You weren't out there. You weren't out there. They didn't want to. You didn't dare.
Arrangements had been made.
Arrangements.
First of all.
Yes.
What a meathead.
Not me.
Nothing. I don't know what you're hearing. Go ahead.
Well, it could be the phone or the hearing aid.
Yes, it could be it. That hearing aid's whistling on you.
Well, it looks just like what they call a Bluetooth.
Oh, it does. That's great.
Yes, it fits right over the ear, 1995.
Old bastard.
I got it at the flea market.
I'm sure you did. It works like a charm, doesn't it? You can hear a pin drop.
This whole debacle this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, you've done this before. What were you, too afraid to go out there?
As someone whose name is synonymous with chowder.
With junk.
First of all, sir.
Yes, sir.
I do not pay $5 to get into an event in which I should be the star attraction.
Wait a second. It's not you. You don't pay $5. The people coming out there to sample food.
I had... Oh, my God. What? I don't know. 16 gallons of chowder.
You mean...
In Tornado.
You had 16
and
gallons.
This meathead... That they had working security.
Yes.
That is $5 to get into the event, no exceptions. And I said, do you know who I am?
Not if.
And he said, no.
Not if you're a vendor. You're part of it. It's the people sampling your slop.
And I got out of the Tornado. I took the heel of my foot, put my cigarette out, and I said, you want a piece of me? And then I was asked to leave.
You were
asked. Let me tell you something, sir. Anthony D'Amico does not go where he is not wanted.
He called this show all the time.
I didn't call you. You called me. You meathead.
Hey, don't you call me a meathead.
Call me a meathead, and you think I can't hear it. You think I'm some sort of fiend.
You said it, I didn't. Phoebe. Nothing. The fact of the matter is...
I graciously bowed out of the competition because I don't go where I'm not wanted. And they will never know what they missed out on.
Oh, they do. They will. Yes.
I found out after. I talked to this Dalrymple character.
Yeah.
And he said that regardless, that they didn't want to play ball. I am the chowder king of Southwest Florida. Why are you mocking me?
I don't know. That must be
something wrong. I warned you in the interest of disclosure. That I am drinking a pitcher of Tony's margaritas.
I want to get something straight here with you. I want to get something straight.
Oh, let's get something straight, Buster.
You're the chowder king. Huh?
And you would treat me with respect.
I think I treat you with a lot of respect. I've been promoting that dive restaurant of yours for the last 12 years.
And have you ever gone hungry, sir?
A couple of times, yeah, when I wouldn't eat that slop.
You've never paid for nothing.
No, I admit that. I admit that.
You never so much as left a tip.
That is not true. But why should I tip you? You didn't do anything. I had to go back and serve myself. What the hell are you talking
about? That's what I get for treating you like family.
Look.
Now, don't you look me. Do you want to know what happened or not, you meathead?
I do want to know what happened. You made 16 gallons of that slop of yours, and you didn't realize that it's not the vendors that have to pay.
This Dalrymple character tries to tell me my business, because let me tell you, whenever I peeled out in that Tornado and I made my way back to the restaurant, I got a phone call from someone hat in hand, this Dalrymple character. I'll have you know, he begged me to come back, and I refused.
Oh, you did, did you?
On multiple grounds.
Oh, really? You did, huh?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. And so
because as part of this competition, so-called competition, there is no competition for chowder.
Yes, there is a competition for chowder.
There is no competition for chowder.
Tell me what.
I am the chowder king.
No, oh, you aren't the chowder king. Tell
yes,
me
I
what
am.
Effing award you
the
won
meathead.
For that. Don't call me a meathead,
don't
Tony.
You say
don't you
me.
Dare call me a meathead.
Meathead.
What? Pardon me.
Pardon me.
You know what? You're the one that looking like
Boy,
a fool.
You picked the wrong day to screw with Tony.
Oh, yeah. Why do I have the feeling you're going to get more crank calls? Let me what are you doing
Let
with...
me tell you what this Dalrymple character
okay.
Did to
okay.
me.
Okay, all right.
First of all, a complete change in attitude from the security buffoon.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Dalrymple called me, and he says, Tony, I apologize. Obviously, we will waive the $5 entry fee.
Okay.
And he says, we would like for you to come back, and I considered it, but he said, as part of the competition, sir, that you must publish the recipe.
Uh-huh.
Which, my recipe is proprietary. And I said, the only thing I can tell you, sir, in regards to a recipe, is that there is no milk in this chowder.
Right. Which takes away the flavor.
And then I'm sorry, Cody, mm-hmm. which was very familiar of him.
Right. Well, you're the chowder king.
I missed D'Amico.
Uh-huh.
And he said that if it doesn't contain milk, then legally it can't be called chowder.
I don't think so. I don't think it can be called chowder. I don't think it can be. And
but
you know,
they missed out because... Yeah. Had he had a half a brain,
uh-huh.
that event
yeah.
would have seen
yeah.
the unveiling of what is going to make me a billionaire.
Uh-huh.
Thus, I'm celebrating with a picture of Tony's margarita.
And what was that, you dumb meathead? What was the...
Pardon me?
Nothing, you're hearing things. What was
well,
the...
you are on my last...
You know what? All I know is that you got 16 gallons of junk chowder that you can't even unload.
I am sitting on a powder keg.
Really? What do you got? What do you got? Why don't you blab it out? What do you got?
Oh, now you're interested.
Well, I want to hear how you're going to take another financial bath and beg me for a few hundred bucks.
I'm sitting on a power keg and throwing off sparks.
What is it?
It is something I call power chowder.
Power chowder. What's power chowder? What is it?
It is a revolutionary concept.
You're smoking again, aren't you? Revolutionary.
Oh, whose business is it if I smoke?
Revolutionary power chowder. What is it?
I got this idea.
I bet you did.
Because, as you know, I love the young people.
Uh-oh.
And the young people love me.
So says you.
I've been intimate with college-age women.
You've been
for the past year.
With mentally slow, with special needs kids.
Be that as it may.
Right.
I am in touch. I am hip. I am with it.
Says you.
And the young people like things that bring them energy.
Right.
And thus, I came up with the marriage of my famous chowder.
Right, Burl.
Pardon me?
Your famous chowder.
And the enthusiasm... that the young people have for things that bring them energy, especially the college students.
What are you throwing?
They have to cram. They need energy. Ooh. And they drink all these energy drinks, like the porn star energy.
Rock star.
Yeah, rock star.
And
rock
the
star.
12-hour powder.
12-hour power.
What?
Nothing. What are you doing, putting energy drink in that slop of yours? And having college kids eat it?
Story short, yeah.
That is just wrong.
What's wrong with it? Why do you say there's wrong?
What kind of taste does that have? Chowder's supposed to be creamy and thick and full of potatoes and clams
and not a drop of milk.
According to you.
No, I make it myself.
And you're throwing in some energy drink that maybe, what, has citrus orange or something thrown into it? That'll make anybody vomit.
I don't know. It's whatever they sell at the Costco.
You're mixing it together.
I have a business membership at Costco.
I don't care what you got. You're making power chowder. What happens to the people?
It's called power chowder.
It's called something that is just not healthy.
And I also...
You also what?
That got the wheels spinning.
Yeah, I bet it did.
And I thought I could do a whole line of specialty chowders.
Like, what, a power chowder? What else?
Well, I could purchase, I found out from this girl, Lana.
Uh-huh.
That you could get vitamins and such in bulk.
Yes, yeah, yeah, you can.
And so...
You're throwing vitamins into your chowder.
Well, I'm working on several proprietary blends, and one of them is designed to give you a boner. Evidently, there's a Chinese herb called horny goat weed.
I gotta go.
And it looks just like oregano.
You a lot of experimenting with 16 gallons of leftover chowder, huh?
What?
You
she's not 16, she's 18.
You stupid meathead.
Oh, you're a meathead.
Hey, Tony, I'll talk to you later, you bonehead. See you later.
Pardon me.
Yeah. We got to take a break, and we'll be back. 96 K-Rock.
Hey, before we do this, you have to promise me that you can be showered and out of here by 6. Stan and Haney. 96 K-Rock.
Hi, this is Peter Arnett, and here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Monday, January 26.
Double M-I-X.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Now, you watch CSI, correct?
Yes, I do.
Are you familiar with the ballistics expert, Bobby Dawson?
Yes, the ballistics expert.
His name is Gerald McCullough. That's right, Gerald. He pronounces his first name with a hard G. He says that he and Marg Hellenberger bonded almost instantly on the set of CSI because they're both weirdos.
Yeah, you guess true.
So... It's Gerald McCullough. He fought off a knife-wielding mugger on the New York City subway.
Wow.
Happened about 2 in the morning. McCullough had just gotten off a plane from L.A. and was working on his laptop as his train pulled into a stop and the doors started opening. A punk ran up, tried to grab the laptop and bolt. The actor says, quote, "I gave him a body shot to the chest. I don't know why I did that, except I box 3 or 4 days a week, and I'd just been in the ring about 8 hours earlier."
Sure. What a braggart.
He continues, well, that's when he pulled a kitchen knife out of a black plastic bag. The thing must have had a blade 10 inches long. The other passengers started running out the door and into the next car. I still had my headphones on with music blaring. I yelled at the top of my lungs, get the away from me. That's when the knife came down into my back.
Oof.
I don't know whether he lost his grip or what, but for some reason, the 10-inch blade did not penetrate his leather jacket. He says, quote, we were in each other's face. I think I punched him again as the door closed and the train started leaving the station. I'm watching MTA workers on the platform looking in. I thought, great, now I'm alone in the car with the mugger. The train started to leave the station again, but stopped abruptly because other passengers had alerted the conductor to what was happening. The doors opened and police officers rushed in and took the suspect down. And believe it or not, it's not his first mugging. Back in 2001, he was leaving a nightclub with an attractive young gentleman. Oh, by the way, he's gay and proud of it.
Right.
When they were approached by two men with a gun, he says, they put the gun between my eyes, forced me to the ground, took my money and keys, and stuck the gun in my ass. Then something...
What?
Pardon?
What? What did you... What was that?
Oh, he says, quote, they put the gun between...
If that didn't...
Pardon me?
No.
That's what he said.
No, he didn't. Did he?
Yes.
All right, well, it's... Okay.
He continues, then something almost spiritual happened. I thought I was going to die, so I kind of thanked the universe, this gay gentleman.
Yes.
I said to myself, I've had a really great time here, thank you, and when I did that, for some reason, they just left.
That's good.
So, way to go there, gay Gerald.
All's well that ends well.
Truer words never spoken.
Yeah.
Frankly, we still don't know what the hell is going on with this alleged plot by someone in the Bahamas to extort John Travolta and Kelly Preston. But late last week, three people were detained by police. One of them, ambulance driver Torino Lightborn. He's reportedly one of the paramedics who tried to revive 16-year-old Jet Travolta, who died at the family's vacation home in the Bahamas earlier this month. Lightborn still in custody, and police say he is cooperating. Another arrestee, a senator by the name of Pleasant Bridgewater.
Ah. Great names.
Yeah, awesome names over there.
She was formally charged Friday with abetting extortion and conspiracy to extort. When she was released from custody, she resigned from the Senate. Pleasant Bridgewater maintains her innocence, but says she needs to concentrate on fighting the charges. The third person police detained was a bit of a surprise. His name is Obi Wilchcombe.
Great.
And he's not only a member of the Bahamian Parliament, he's also a longtime friend of the Travoltas. He was released Friday pending further investigation. He was even on Larry King Live the night of Jet's death, speaking on behalf of the Travolta family. Now, specifics are still scarce. You'd think somebody would have dug up a little dirt by now, but we still don't know what was being used as a bargaining chip in the extortion plot. All we know is that it involved Jet's death. TMZ, however, claims that all three people, that being Wilchcombe, Bridgewater, and Lightborn, is that a trio of extortionists or a 70s art rock band? Wilchcombe, Bridgewater, and Lightborn.
I like them.
WBL. You can almost see the fog and laser light show
yes.
at the planetarium. Sources say the three of them began negotiations with Travolta's people, initially demanding $25 million, but then decided to bargain down to somewhere between $10 and $20 million. Travolta never had any intention of paying. On Saturday, Winchcombe said that he and Pleasant Bridgewater only got caught up because they were trying to help. Supposedly, Bridgewater got wind of the extortion plot, alerted Winchcombe. Winchcombe then went to Travolta's attorneys and gave them the heads up. It's all very confusing. And really, the only reason I did the story is so I could say Winchcombe, Bridgewater, and Lightbourne. Pleasant Bridgewater.
I stand beside you on that one.
Now the world of sports. In case you're unaware, Serbians and Bosnians don't really like each other that much.
No.
Matter of fact, they hate each other. This goes way back. Basically, it boils down to the fact that these people occupy the same geographic area, and they have different religions. Bosnians are Muslim. Serbs are Orthodox Christians. On Friday, a Serbian tennis player named Novak Djokovic beat a Bosnian-born tennis player named Amir Delic at the Australian Open. Immediately after the match, a bunch of Serbian and Bosnian fans got into a brawl and started throwing lawn chairs at each other. One Bosnian woman was injured when a chair hit her over the head, and two men were arrested for riotous behavior. Overall, 30 fans ejected from the Australian Open. And finally, everyone just so excited this weekend for the big fight.
Oh, yeah, man. It was great.
Saturday night. 3 1-minute rounds. The venue just outside Philadelphia, filled to its 2,000-seat capacity.
Woo!
With fans paying $50 to sit ringside, $30 for the cheap seats. Also broadcast on pay-per-view via the internet, Bonaducci and Canseco paid $2 for every pay-per-view buy. No word on how much they made. And evidently, Danny Bonaducci and Jose Canseco boxed to a draw.
Yep.
Although there is a photograph of someone holding up Canseco's arm, they say officially the fight was a draw.
Right. He went easy on him.
Rematch anyone?
Oh, of course.
I am Bill O'Reilly from the Fox News Channel with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, ladies, unless you work in pornography, your boss has no business checking your genitals for STDs.
That's a fact.
And even then, if he insists on personally checking your junk, you probably should call the police. I bring this up because last November, 38-year-old Muhammad Bhatti of New Milford, Connecticut.
Yep. Know where it is. Thank you.
Tricked his nanny. I guess it was a nanny trick. The nanny, an unidentified 20-year-old woman from Slovakia.
Oh, yes.
Was told that Mohammed needed to give her a herpes exam.
Mm-hmm.
According to police, Mohammed told the 20-year-old Slovakian woman she could not swim in the pool with the rest of the family until he'd personally made sure she was free of herpes.
Get up there. Let me take a look.
Sounds reasonable.
Yeah. Get up there.
So the 38-year-old man took the 20-year-old Slovakian woman up to the bedroom, grabbed some Vagisil and Q-tips, and inspected her for STDs. At some point, it dawned on the 20-year-old Slovakian that she may have been violated. So she called the police and, in broken English, told them what happened. On Friday, Mohammed was arrested on 2 counts of sexual assault. If convicted, he's looking at 25 years.
Let me get a look there.
Get up there. It's now official. Social networking sites like Facebook can get you killed.
Oh, yeah.
Last spring, 26-year-old Sarah Richardson and her husband, 41-year-old Edward, were having marital problems.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah left Edward and moved in with her parents. Edward desperately wanted Sarah back, but she refused to talk to him. Then in May, he lost his effing mind when he noticed that Sarah had the audacity to change her relationship status on Facebook to single. According to a spokeswoman for the prosecution team, Edward, quote, became enraged when Sarah changed her status to single and decided to go and see her as she was not responding to his numerous text messages. He gained entry to the house by breaking the front door window and made his way onto the property. Once inside, he found Sarah in her bedroom and subjected her to a frenzied and brutal attack with a knife.
Jeez.
Killed her.
Oh.
Then attempted to take his own life. Should have finished the job. Last Thursday, Edward, convicted of murder, sentenced to a minimum of 18 years in prison. Nothing but trouble.
No.
Nobody needs to know that much about you.
No.
Last April, 43-year-old Amador Bernabe of Townsville, Australia.
That's just outside of Australia.
Indeed.
In Australia.
Whatever.
Just south of New Zealand.
Thank you.
Got a job working as a machine operator for a company called Townsville Engineering Industries. Amador says the job was great until he was fired suddenly last Thursday. You see, Amador is originally from the Philippines, and apparently in the Philippines, they use water instead of toilet paper to clean themselves up down there. Amador says his manager told him if he didn't follow the, quote, Australian way of sanitizing himself, he would be fired. Amador refused, so the boss sent him packing. So this Filipino gentleman lost his sweet job as a machine operator because he refused to use toilet paper. What hill you gonna die on, pal?
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, on December 30th, 23-year-old Carl Hughes, 22-year-old Joshua Pennington, 21-year-old Matthew Pennington, and 20-year-old Sarah Wallace robbed the Mountain Valley Bank in Mill Creek, West Virginia.
Where's that?
Eastern part of the state.
Thank you.
Shortly after the robbery, police received a tip from an unidentified resident who was listening to a police scanner who had spotted the group's gold Pontiac getaway car. Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
The police responded to the address they'd gotten from the tipster and they recovered over $21,000 of the stolen money.
All right.
Which was stashed in various places around the home, including the $1,690 that Sarah had rat-holed in her most intimate of areas. We've done the math, and the fewest number of bills Sarah could have rat-holed would be 19. Huh. $1,600 bills, $150, $220s.
Thanks for doing the math.
Took a while. And that's the news for today, Monday, January 26.
Double M-I-X.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman. Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you,
Stan.
What a spot for a vacation. And this family's brought everything they need for a perfect one, including
Stan and Haney
in genuine top grain cowhide, which costs less than a tenth of a cent an hour to operate.
96 K-Rock.
In the afternoon. Glad to have you along.
Thanks.
Thank you, Tony. You know what? I'm going to tell you right now. I'll start teasing these right now. We got a good week lined up. People coming on the show. Scheduled to appear this week.
Yeah, it's jam-packed. We were talking earlier, and we had to drop some things. It's so busy.
Yeah. Scheduled to appear this week, NBA great Clyde the Glide Drexler, who I'm going to personally apologize to.
Well, you should.
What did you do?
Well, I'm sure you'll hear about it later.
Long-time Portland Trail Blazer, and I used to like to go to the Orlando Arena, watch the Magic play when I lived over there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Clyde the Glide was still playing. Well, car dealer gave Joe and I courtside seats.
Oh, no.
I was very well imbibed and called him a lot of names. And he's one of the all-time greats.
He'll remember.
Is that when you had a big mustache and a mullet?
No. Oh, when I had a big
mustache?
When
you had a big mustache and a mullet.
Yes. Yeah. Also scheduled to appear this week on the show from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Ernest Graham.
Hometown guy done good.
Yep. And later on in the week, former light heavyweight champion of the world and star of Rocky V, that Rocky Balboa film, Antonio Tarver is scheduled to be on the show as well.
You know, love doing the newscast. The only thing that I don't like about the news is a lot of times some stories we just don't have time for. And I thought this one was pretty cool. It involves the singer-songwriter James Taylor, who we both have a great affinity for.
Absolutely.
Long, convoluted story. Back in on December 8th, a 20-year-old college student named Natalie Lenhart took a taxi from Manhattan to JFK Airport.
Okay.
The fare was $49. When she got to the airport, her credit card was declined. And before we go any further, it was Natalie's fault that the card was rejected, although she had the best of intentions. She had transferred money into the account before the trip, but there wasn't enough time for the transaction to be processed.
Okay, I'm
sure that's happened to plenty of people. Now, according to the New York Post,
so you know it's got to be true,
she didn't have any other way to pay the fare. She had the best of intentions, but card declined. She's got no options.
She's stuck at JFK.
So the Port Authority police were called, and they gave her two options. She could be, quote, taken downtown, or she could pay the taxi driver by parting with, quote, something of value.
What?
These Port Authority cops decided to be judge and jury on the spot. I'm not sure if that's common practice,
but... I don't know. What do you got?
That was it. Here's what she had. She had a laptop and an iPod Nano valued at $140. So she wanted to get going, and she gave up the iPod. The story made it into the Post last week, where it was seen by James Taylor, the James Taylor. One detail in the article caught James Taylor's eye. Natalie is a huge fan of his, and a lot of the music on that iPod was James Taylor music. James Taylor took it upon himself to contact the Post and said, quote, I was amazed when I read it. I wanted to reach out a little bit. It seems like I probably reacted to the story like everyone else. It was surprising. The entire incident was kind of like frontier justice. They sort of had the policeman make the decision about what was appropriate payment on the spot. It's just weird. So last Thursday, James Taylor personally went shopping for a new iPod to send to Natalie. And that's despite having 50 stitches removed from his face earlier that day.
Yeah, he was on Larry King and it missed.
Well, that's a whole other story. He recently tripped and fell over a guitar case in the bedroom. The fall dislodged a giant wooden parrot from the top of his bedpost. Oh. The parrot dropped and hit him in the eye.
Oh.
Nasty.
Yeah.
James Taylor said he'll load up the iPod with a bunch of his songs and personally send it to Natalie along with a personal note. Assuming that happens, Natalie could very well end up with two iPods. The cab driver, one Mohammed, you can call me Mo, Islam,
sure,
has offered to return her iPod if she simply gives him the $49 fare he was due in the first place. The Port Authority, on their part, say they're looking into this.
Wow, what a great story.
Yeah.
That James Taylor, I've always liked him.
Good guy.
Even during his crazy period, his Carly Simon period.
Yeah, but you know, even when he was knee-deep in smack, always put out a good record.
You're right.
And very calm and reassuring.
Yeah, I love listening to James
Taylor. Despite his personal life being at the very gates of hell.
Yep. We will be back here at 2 o'clock. We are the Stan and Haney Show, 96 K-Rock. We leave you now with this. We all know how this particular guest concluded his life.
We still don't know the full story, but I'm confident it will come out.
On May 26th of this year, Gary Coleman was admitted to a Utah Valley hospital after falling down a flight of stairs in his home.
His head as hard as Scatman Crothers on The Shining.
Yep. The following day, he fell into a coma, and his girlfriend slash ex-wife, Shannon Price,
slash murderess,
pulled the plug on him.
Love you, honey.
I just remembered we, Haney and I, spoke with Gary Coleman in December of 2000.
We have a record of that?
And we actually have a record of it where, at first, coming on quite guarded,
pensive,
dropped his cloak and became quite honest about a lot of things.
Are you telling me he took off his mask of false bravado?
You got it. From December of 2000, Gary Coleman. Hi, Gary.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing very well. You know, I'm trying to explain to Haney, my partner here and my producer, when the brief conversation I had with you for a few minutes ago when we were trying to coordinate on times, and I couldn't figure out what you were telling me, that you were going to come on at 10 past, and I'm like, well, no, it's just in 12 minutes. And then you finally clarified it for me. You run your watch, what, about a half hour ahead?
Yes, I run my watch a half hour ahead because I, over the last 10 years, I've always been a half hour late. And it's taken me 10 years to figure out to set my clock a half hour ahead.
But don't you know, looking at your clock, that you're already a half hour ahead and you say to yourself, I still got time?
Yes, I do. But you know what? That's when I'm awake, I'm alert, and I'm up. If my alarm clock goes off at a set time and I have to be someplace at a set, particular time,
right.
I usually jump up and go, oh, I got to get up. I'm late. But I'm not late. I'm early. And I prefer that.
Okay. I buy it. I buy it. Hey, how's the health and how are you doing?
Oh, I am very well. Thank you. Very well. How are you doing?
I'm doing...
I understand there were some mental issues in your past.
How do you know that? What, you been looking into my file?
No. I'm just taking a guess. Most radio personalities have to be a little bit crazy.
You've delved into radio a little bit, haven't you?
Yes, I have. I have used that unused left side of my brain for radio. Yes, I have.
And I want to, before we talk about what your latest crusade is, we'll talk about that in a second.
Well, it's not my crusade. Actually, it's UGO's crusade, and if you go to their website, they have a whole mini site devoted to it.
You want to ban scooters?
No, they want to ban scooters. I just happen to agree with them. I mean, look at what we have to deal with traffic-wise already. All right, bicycles, pedestrians, rollerbladers, and skateboarders. Now, that's just a whole other separate issue by itself. UGO's contention is it's really kind of sad to see a 35-year-old man on a foot-powered scooter.
Yeah, it was my partner that had to convince me not to buy one because I would look ridiculous on a damn
scooter. Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, I don't have a problem with anyone expressing their inner child. You know, that's why I do model railroading. That's why I play video games. Those are societal acceptable norms. But the scooter thing, we have to have a discussion about
that. But it's
that.
Big, man.
Well, certainly you've seen the danger of that with your experience in law enforcement.
Well, there is that. I mean, an errant skateboarder can come by and just run you right the hell over, and you wouldn't even know what happened.
That's right. That is absolutely correct.
Now we're giving 35-year-old men skateboards with training wheels, basically handles.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You can get hurt doing that, and that was also one of the reasons why I decided I shouldn't be riding on one of those things.
Yeah, you fall within that category, right?
Yes, I do.
Somewhat good-looking 35-year-old male in a tie.
No, I don't wear a tie.
He might look cool on a foot-powered silver scooter.
That's why I decided to get one for my kid instead of me.
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah, right.
Oh, not to say that I won't try it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll have to show her how to ride it.
I'll have to show her how it's done.
Yeah.
And then that's when I get hurt and wind up in the hospital.
You know what? I shudder to think what's going to happen to you and the ribbing and the teasing you're going to get when you show up at the studio going, woohoo, yeah, this is cool, baby.
Yeah, it would be just an average day because he gets that no matter what he does.
Yeah, and no matter what I do, I get excited about stuff like that.
So, Gary, you're doing this this advice column now. Are you doing any acting at all?
Oh, occasionally. Jay Leno uses my services, and there are several corporations in the world that use my services. There's Envirotech. Incorporated in Ocala, Florida, uses my services to promote their products. There's Hollow World Incorporated here in L.A. that uses my services to promote their restaurants. There's UGO.com, Underground Online, uses my services to promote almost anything and everything because I think UGO is cool.
Are you glad, though, and I guess to some extent you would have to be, that you aren't under the pressure and the spotlight that you were when you were a child actor?
Oh, no.
I wouldn't
wish that on my worst enemy.
You've made no bones about it, and you've been very public about every aspect of your life.
Pretty much.
And how, you were getting paid huge money, but it was a living hell for you.
Well, it's really sad when the rest of your life has to go to pot just to have a little fun, you know, just to make a lot of money. You know, it's really sad when that is the reality. I mean, you got these computer people, you know, these people that work on computers 49 hours out of a day, you know, 260 days a year. You know, they don't come out for sunlight but 2 hours a day, but they get paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, that is the reality of the world that we live in right now. You know, as soon as the Internet hit back in, what is that, 87? What did Gore claim he created that thing?
Yeah, back then sometime.
Yeah. As soon as that hit and people realized the evil nature of the Internet and decided, oh, it's a moneymaker, life as we know it changed. You have to work your butt literally, not figuratively anymore, literally, into the grave
to make
money.
But you were a 10-year-old kid working your butt off and not in the best of health, and they drove you, like, you know, because you had to be on everything then because you were that cute 10-year-old kid that everybody wanted to see.
Right, and that's just, unfortunately, that's just the nature of the business for children.
That's why
I don't support children in the business. I never will. Having been one,
sure,
and watching how others are treated in the business, you know, they can make dinosaurs CGI. I'm sure they can make children CGI. I have always said that.
What about your political aspirations? I know you were thinking about running for Senate, and do you still have any more?
You know, it's a little tickling and a little teasing going on there. You know, I believe I have the ability and the mind for it, but I happen to be ethical and moral in my thinking, and that just doesn't work in the political world.
Now, obviously, everybody was kind of shocked when they heard that you were working as a security guard. How did that come about?
Oh, just something else that I know how to do. I can't do it anymore because I don't have my license, but...
You have to get a license for that?
Well, yeah, you have to be permitted to be a security guard. You can't just walk up and say, hey, give me a baton. I want to be a security guard. There's training involved and classes involved.
But don't you find it amazing, Gary?
Certification involved.
Don't you find it amazing, though, and even to this day and the year 2000, going into 2001, that everything that you choose to do in your life, whether it be to become a security guard, become an online advice columnist, whether it's to go and do something, there's always some tabloid or somebody out there that's going to talk about it. There's Gary Coleman. Here's what he's doing.
Of course. That's the hell of being an actor, period. End of story. Whether you're working on television or off television, whether, you know, you're working in the computer industry, the automotive industry, the, you know, radio industry, that's the hell of being an actor, former or current. I'm actually current still, because I haven't really retired. You know, I keep thinking about it, and I keep wondering about it, and I really want to do it, but you know what? Every now and then, occasionally a great job comes through, and I dig that.
Yeah.
You know, I dig the fact that I can have fun, you know, people are giving me fun things to do, and the money is still good. So, you know, I'd be a fool to retire now.
Believe me,
if the opportunity ever raised its head for me to retire and I could do it comfortably and be really happy and secure about it, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Let me ask you, because this is one little thing that I didn't know about your career. Before the whole Different Strokes thing came about, you were actually discovered by Norman Lear because they were going to do a remake of The Little Rascals?
They did a remake of Little Rascals.
But were you a part of that or not?
Yeah, I was a character called Stoker.
Stoker.
We did four episodes, I don't know what they were, you know, 6-minute, 9-minute episodes. Sort of like the same length as the old Little Rascals were.
Uh-huh.
We did four of those, and they were only shown once nationally, 3 times here in L.A. in the local market on a show called the Saturday Afternoon Film Festival.
And that's how you essentially got your start in Hollywood.
Right. Well, actually, it was even more than that. Before that was even developed, Norman Lear wanted to promote me and his new product that he discovered. So he put me on Fernwood Tonight, Jefferson's Fernwood Tonight, and then Fernwood Tonight changed its title to America Tonight, and then there were some Two Good Times stuck in there. So all that was leading up to and surrounding new Little Rascals that he wanted to
Last thing I want to ask you and tell me, I mean, you've gone on and you've openly said and you've said on this show that you don't think there should be child actors in the way that you were worked. But you have to have some satisfaction, no matter who tried to take advantage of you, no matter what lawsuits came about, no matter what public display happened. You have to go, and there's got to be a little piece inside of you to know that when you put your head on the pillow at night, you say to yourself, you know what? I was the most popular child star in the history of television.
Nope.
You don't.
That is not what I go to bed thinking about. That hasn't been what I go to bed thinking
about. But I'm saying some kind of satisfaction that
That doesn't satisfy me.
It doesn't.
No. No. I like to work. I like to be creative. I like to be kept busy. I like to please people. Those are the things that satisfy me. I'm a workaholic. I have a very strong work ethic. And no matter what I do, as long as someone's happy with what I'm doing, that's the thing that I go to bed wondering about and dreaming about and hoping that I am performing my duties.
So you don't put your head on the pillow and think, boy, the next time somebody walks up to me and says, what you talking about, Willis, I'm going to take a baton to him.
Oh, there are those fantasies.
Yes, that's kind of crossed your mind.
I do have those fantasies, but you know what? It's really interesting. As time goes on, I get the wonderful opportunity to bump into my more intelligent fans, like the you two fellas, or just on the street, who just treat me like I have a brain and that I have an opinion. And that, my God, I might even be able to help them with one of their problems.
Right. I want to wish you the best of luck. You seem, no matter what you read or say, talking to you, you're all right in my book.
Oh, thank you very much.
And great talking to you. Happy holidays to you.
You too.
All right.
Just be safe out there and watch out.
All right. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye.
See, he's got to throw that be safe out there and watch out because, you know, he's been a law enforcement officer.
That's right.
Well, security guards.
Believe it or not, Gary Coleman did not have a funeral. He had memorial services.
Well, he had a plug pulling.
Right. His ex-wife, Shannon Price, and his former girlfriend, Anna Gray.
If she was not in his life, he'd be alive right now.
Were involved in legal battles over his house, which he did not want sold, still going on. The only thing, and you heard him talk about it, how he likes the locomotive stuff. His entire train collection, model trains, donated to hobby shops in California. Gary Coleman.
It's a shame.
It really is.
And I believe that. I believe that wholeheartedly, that if he had never met that woman, he would be alive today. I can't prove anything, but I really do believe that.
Yep.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.